shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
Well, I'm glad right now that in Texas nothing serious has happened in this particular district.
Yeah, I guess it's a little shocking.
Once more brings children into an adult world.
So. There are other reasons as well, but it was no surprise to me when I was...
Jews are good with money.
Johnny Diablo.
World famous Phil Hendrick Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And this is the home of
Johnny Diablo.
Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Live streaming audio and video of the show all combined into one big groovy-ass stream right there, right now. You can check it out. Coming up, a Texas city revives corporal punishment. A controversial picture of a crucifix is being called pornographic. 877-876-PHIL. Controversial picture of a crucifix is being called pornographic. Have you guys not, and I put myself when I say us, me, we, you, you know, have we gotten Christianity out of our, you know, the angst and the pain and the suffering and the woe and the humiliation that Christianity causes? Now, I understand that there are always going to be certain people whose religion is something that they wear on their sleeve. They wear it like it's a badge, you know. And you know and I know that those people are vile. When they walk around like they're just the greatest thing that God ever dropped on this planet. Like that old bag out in Palm Springs when she walked right smack dab into the middle of a gay rights demonstration with a big-ass cross. And she's trying to tell me she didn't know what was going to happen. She wasn't trying to provoke people. She wasn't trying to piss people off. See, you can't hide. Maybe some people buy it, sweetie, but... Can't hide behind it with me. I know that you went in there with nothing but the worst of intentions. You probably wanted to get your ass kicked. But I know what you told the press. You said to them, oh, I'm bringing the word of God to people. So I know that there's a lot that we can say about religion and that it has harmed a lot of people. But by the same token, I've gotten over whatever ill will I had toward the, for instance, Catholic Church. I recognize that priests molest children. I know that the Catholic Church conducted one of history's most cruel and inhumane periods of incarceration, torture, and political persecution in the history of the world. Called the Spanish Inquisition. I know that. I know the Catholic Church is basically responsible for disenfranchising Jewish people from the regular world by deeming them not human. These are all medieval laws that have carried over to the present day. I know the Catholic Church has done all those things. And yet, I still am a practicing Catholic. Why is that? Because I separate the institution, the political institution, from the actual faith itself. I separate the political institution from the actual faith, the actual liturgy, the actual Mass, the celebration of the Mass. And I go to Mass, and I listen to priests who I respect. And I don't listen to some that I don't. I can't really tell you any that I don't. I mean, a lot of the priests I know, they're pretty good guys. But the Catholic Church as an institution, I got all kinds of problems with it, but I ain't getting hung up on it, man. I don't get out of bed every morning with it on my mind, and I got to do something about it. I don't give a sweet damn. Priest molests a kid, throw his ass in prison. Arrest the cardinal if you have to. Arrest the pope for all I care. I don't give a damn. Put them all in jail. Let them rot. But me, it doesn't mean I'm going to stop being a Catholic. It's never going to mean that. Here's another thing. Catholicism is big, it's worldwide, and it's a huge religion. That doesn't mean that when somebody meets me and they find out I'm a Catholic, they get to start to badmouth my religion. Like, oh, wow, that Pope, he's a real pig. You know what? Why don't you shut up, okay? Before I start hammering on you for being a Baptist or whatever the hell it is that you are. So just let's keep our religion to ourselves. I wish people would just shut the hell up. I wish people would walk the walk instead of talking the talk. I got more big mouth people. I realize I'm one of them, but I get paid. Not too good, but I get paid. No, I'm kidding. I get paid to talk.
Yeah. If you didn't talk, then there wouldn't be no point of a talk show.
Well, he knows that.
No, but yeah, that's a good point, bud. If I didn't talk, then there'd be no point in me doing a talk show. And if Whitney Houston didn't sing, there'd be no real point in her being a singer. And I have to tell you, I don't think there's any real point anymore in Whitney Houston being a singer, because she was giving a performance at a recent concert, and oh, God.
Oh, man.
Ooh, ouch. Yeah, that ain't too good there. Wait, this is the way she used to sound.
And I will always love you.
Bleeping retarded.
And here's how that little Chinese kid sounds. And here's another guy that sounds like this. Oh, I'm sorry, this isn't... Well, that's not the same song. Whitney Houston, in giving that performance, obviously she was a little rough around the edges. Her fans may always love her, but the catty reviewers across Great Britain weren't exactly singing her praises following that performance. A bumpy return to the stage on Tuesday night in a rough-and-tumble Birmingham. And some fans recorded the performance on their cells, and you just heard the result. The videos have been receiving hundreds of thousands of views. Invariably, every negative review included some variation of "Houston, we have a problem." But when they began describing the singer's vocals and overall stamina, even the normally prim BBC got in on the act, saying the singer was, quote, "painting more than John Prescott running for the bus." Oh, panting more than John Prescott running for the bus, a reference to a well-known and fat politician from Wales. All right. Houston was supposed to, and maybe painting as much as he does, because that's probably why he's panting.
Gotta open a window.
Something like that. Anyway, Houston was supposed to kick off her British tour last week. Instead, she just kicked off. But she had to cancel due to respiratory problems. Do you think? Respiratory problems? Whitney Houston did take a brief break and came back afterwards. She got a little bit of a spray, she got a little bit of a drink, she got a little bit of a rest, and the second part of the show was phenomenal, as recorded by a great many people on their cell phone.
What a wonderful day.
So,
That's really good.
You're kidding, right, bud?
Are you kidding me, man?
What?
That ain't Whitney Houston.
Sounds just like her.
I know, friend, I know.
Oh, Lord. Well, the poor girl. You know, I remember when Whitney Houston was really happening, and it was whenever the hell it was. And anyway, well, it was around the time, and I'll tell you why, because there was a People magazine that featured her and Angela Bassett on the cover. And Angela Bassett, I believe, had just done What's Love Got to Do with It. And, of course, as you know, her performance in that film was just widely hailed, as was Lawrence Fishburne's. It was a phenomenal movie. It was just an amazing two performances by these two actors portraying the real-life people, Ike and Tina Turner. And the tragedy of their marriage and the violence of their marriage and the success and all of the drama and all of the travail Angela Bassett just did such a great job, and Lawrence Fishburne was so terrific. And at that time, they did a cover with her and Whitney Houston. And they called Whitney Houston the face. The reason why they did that, if you looked at Angela Bassett and you looked at Whitney Houston together on the cover, you saw in Whitney Houston this plastered-on kisser. I don't know how else to put it. It was just that big, you know, that big-ass grin that she had.
Yeah, like you pull a switch, man, and there's a face.
Right. You just turn a switch, and here's this. And next to her was Angela Bassett, who was very lovely and very natural and looked like she really liked whoever it was she was looking at. She's looking into the camera, and she looked like, wow, hi, how you doing? She looked like a normally happy, pretty, successful woman. And Whitney Houston looked like she was on the verge. Well, that kisser was going to crack, man, if she had to, you know, if she had to smile any wider. I mean, it was almost as if she was staring at the cameraman going, my kisser's going to crack. I wonder if they're going to go out and sing.
What a wonderful day.
877-876, Phil, the world famous. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I want the show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Let me see what we got here. Margaret Gray joins us. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm doing really well. You know, we were coming back from John and Karen, and we heard the program. I had to call in because, I'll tell you, I don't think... I realize that Whitney Houston is having a very difficult time settling back in, I suppose, with this return tour. I really wish that you had a bit more understanding and a little less of the sarcasm.
Well, yeah, I mean, the show is about sarcasm. You heard the song, didn't you?
Yes, I heard the song, and she obviously is having a very difficult time. I don't know whether she's broken her voice in adequately. I don't know what the problem is. If you have the If Bud can put the recording up.
Bud, do you have the song?
Yeah, I got it right here.
I think that when you're talking about the song, how dare you?
What is that?
You just made a mistake.
Is he trying to be funny?
Bud, come on, man.
I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Here it is here.
You know, I swear to God, I can hang up as fast as I dial the phone. So. All right. Yes, right here. Now you can hear her straining. It's very obvious that she's having a difficult time. All right, you can turn it off there if you want.
Turn that off, will you, Bud, for God's sake?
What?
What's up with the foghorn, man?
I made a mistake on it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he made a mistake at all. I think he's trying to be... I really think he's trying to be rude, so, but, you know, I'm going to ignore that. The point that I want to make, Phil...
No, I didn't know that I was going to play that.
You know something? I'm going to say this. You're a lying dwarf. You really are a lying dwarf.
All right, let's not do that, okay? And he's not a dwarf, and I don't like that word either.
Well, he sounds like one. He sounds, and I don't like the word either. That's why I apply it to him. He sounds like a lying, conniving dwarf.
I'm not a dwarf at all.
Well, then don't sound like one.
How do I sound like one?
The foghorn, I think, says it all.
All right, okay, can we stop, please?
I apologize. The problem that I hear Whitney Houston having, Phil, is one of tonality as well as enunciation or pronunciation. Now, you know what? I just saw that slut handler looking at that man's ass. I can't believe it. Anyway...
What are you looking at?
Frank has he's got a little bit of a satellite TV here in the car. Anyway. And I will ever love you. Now, I know that doesn't sound good.
No, it does not.
All right, but the point is I'm opening up the vocal cords. All right, and then I'll sing it good. Frank, eyes on the road. You know what I mean, Phil?
No, I don't know what you mean. I heard something coming out of your throat that didn't sound good.
And I told you that it wasn't going to sound good.
Right.
All right, that was me opening up the chamber. This is the sound apparatus. It goes from the diaphragm all the way to the top of the sinuses. I was opening up the sound apparatus. Now, when you open up the sound apparatus, it sounds like this. How dare he... You know what, Phil? Thank you and good night.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. Okay, why do you do that, man?
It was an opening. You told me every time I see an opening to take it.
I never said anything on the... You know what? If we're just talking to each other, yeah, she's on the phone. You understand?
Well, I don't like the crack she made.
Yeah, she did say it sounded like a conniving evil dwarf.
You laugh about.
You know what? I don't give a damn if she calls back or not. I could give a sweet. Just don't go pulling any of that foghorn jazz with me.
Well, she said, and the sound apparatus sounded like... See? Yeah, I did that.
Yeah, I know, man. So ha 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 ha, really funny, and she hung up, and there we go. I don't care. Good riddance to bet. Well, I better not say that. Margaret, I love you. 877-876-PHIL. All right, so Whitney Houston sounds like crap, and Margaret did too, quite frankly, to be honest with you. You call in, and you're going to tell me about the tonality and opening up the sound apparatus. It did sound a little foghorny, if you'll pardon the expression, horny. Texas City revises paddling as it takes a swat at misbehavior. U.S. Congress milling a ban on corporal punishment. Now, a lot of people look at corporal punishment as one of those marvelous, one of those marvelous tools, a marvelous component of the good old days, where paddling was a good thing, where paddling helped to teach and to train. I personally view corporal punishment as the easy way out. I see parents that smack their kids as lazy. Lazy. All right, now here's why I say that. If you want to teach a kid that pain is the best way to get what you want, then paddle them. If you want to teach a kid that pain is the best way to make a point, paddle them. If you want to teach a kid that the best way to change someone's behavior is to inflict pain on them, then paddle them. If you want to teach your child that the best way to influence people is to inflict pain on them, paddle them, because that's what you're doing. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. Here is pain. So you don't have to explain to them anything, and I understand that we don't want to have to explain anything, and you don't have to explain anything. Here's the thing that I found worked, and I don't know, you may want to try it. You didn't want to do that? No, I didn't. Well, guess what? No more games. Now, kids love video games, they love television, they love computers. You take away that computer keyboard and you've just sent the message, well, you don't want to do the thing, right? Well, you don't have a computer. Now, I don't know about you, if that doesn't work at your house, your kid is from another planet. Another planet! Even though I realize that by the time they turn 14, it seems like they're from another planet anyway. But this corporal punishment baloney, and believe me, folks, I'm not one of these sticky sweet liberals, man. I get it. I'm into what works, okay? And people want to bring back this damn corporal punishment because it's the good old days. You can take the good old days, man, and shove it for all the good it did anybody. Here's Alice Farmer of the American Civil Liberties Union, and she sounds like a real idiot, and I can't stand people like this, but unfortunately, she's making an argument that I happen to agree with.
We believe the corporal punishment is ineffective and abusive, and that there are just much better ways of disciplining children in schools and making sure that there are safe environments for kids to learn in.
Why not just let the schools decide on a case-by-case business, though? Why does there need to be a national ban deciding for everybody?
Because it's important to give all of America's children the same level of protection. It just doesn't seem right that in some places kids can sustain serious injuries while they're in school, and in other places they have safe environments to learn.
Here's Susan Avery, editor-in-chief of the popular blog Parent Dish. She says the ACLU representative is not being honest about the paddling that occurs in Temple, Texas.
That is a complete exaggeration of the reality. This is the way they're administering corporal punishment, which they've only done once since this has been in effect last year, is it's by major offense, and then it's through a discussion with the parent. The parent has to agree that this is an okay way to discipline their child. They don't just do this off the top of their head in the middle of a heated moment.
Well, let me just say, 877-876, Phil coming up. Steven Seagal made Jenny McCarthy cry. It's one of those cutesy-poo headlines, and when you get into the story, it's really boring. That's what we got ahead for you. And we'll tell you why he made her cry. 877-876. Phil.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So anyway, this town, Temple, Texas, I don't want to stay on this corporal punishment thing, but the only point that I wanted to make was the following. If you have a kid who goes home to a father that smacks him around all the time, and then he goes to school and he acts out, and you're going to administer corporal punishment on that kid, you think he's going to care that you're going to paddle him? Kid goes home to an old man, some alcoholic bum, maybe some drug-addicted mother, just a couple of scumbags, and he gets the crap kicked out of him at night. Now he's going to go to school, and he's going to act out as the result of this behavior, and you think you're going to paddle that kid, and it's going to matter to him? He's going to even feel it? Let's get serious for a minute here. First of all, this Temple, Texas school they're talking about, where is this? What's the socioeconomic situation? What's the problem? What isn't the problem? They say they've only used the paddling once in the school system, but the behavior has changed dramatically. I got news for you. These are probably not problem children in the first place. You probably don't even have to use paddling on these kids. You probably don't even have to consider using it with kids like this. It's probably asinine to introduce it into a school like that. But is anybody thinking? No, of course they're not thinking. Why would they want to think? You know, this paddling thing is fine, and again, people, this has got nothing to do with me being some kind of a softy. I just would rather have kids that grow up to become adults that aren't a pain in the ass and a problem for the police and eventually enter the prison system. And it's something that we got to deal with, you and me as taxpayers, because as children, they were not dealt with properly. Temple, Texas, mostly middle class white population, median household income. What do you think it is? $47,000 to $50,000 a year? 62% white. The point that I'm making here is this is a community that seems to be doing okay. I'm not saying anything significant about white, black, but I am telling you it's a middle class, economically relatively healthy community. This is not in the poor part of town. This is not a distressed school district. This is not a place where the kids are coming from homes where there's violence. You're going to use your paddling there? People, I really believe that this idea of paddling kids is just a lazy adult, some lazy-ass adult that doesn't know how to communicate with kids. And if teachers don't know how to do it, you know, you try something else for a living. And that by unanimous vote, they voted to have paddling reintroduced into the school district. Are you serious? Are you people some kind of a joke? Like I said, if you want to, and here's something to consider. If paddling is such a great idea, why don't we use it with adults? I really believe that. If you think that you can affect behavior positively by physical pain, in other words, you can change the behavior of a child by saying to the child, here is what I'm going to do if you don't do what I ask you to do. What's that? I'm going to give you pain. You're going to be like a dog or a rat in a maze. I'm going to give you pain so that it'll reinforce the behavior that I want from you. Pain so that you will agree with what it is I want you to do. Pain so that you... See? And when you become an adult, you now have learned the lesson that pain is the most effective way to change someone's behavior. Well, that's real bright. And to think that educators in the grand old state of Texas, no less, think that that's a great idea. Why don't you guys do something like maybe read a book? I don't know. Get out. Smell the air. Go fishing. Ride a bike. But however, if it is that effective, then why not with adults? Seriously, what if a company said to its salespeople, you are to make this number every month, and if you don't, we have the right, by contract with you, to smack you across the face. And then you'll meet your number, won't you? Huh?
Well, I'm going to quit.
Go ahead and quit. Go someplace else. Go someplace where they're going to treat you like a, you know, treat you real nice. But I'm telling you right now, unless you make your number as a salesman in this company, I'm going to belt you right across the chops, man. Loosen some teeth. How do you feel about that? Corporal punishment. Well, adults don't need that. Adults don't need that? Is there a segment of our society that needs it less or more? Less more.
Yeah, like less.
More. Well, you know what I mean. Adults don't need it. My God, they probably need it more than anybody else. That's what I meant to say. So if you think that that stuff is effective, if you think that that's really going to get your, it's going to, you know, really get your rocking horse rocking, man, if that's the way to the future for the American people, then I say we start out with adults getting their ass beat, because I think that's fantastic.
How are you going to do that, though?
Like what?
How are you going to, you're going to make an adult, you're going to spank him? That's gay as hell. Everybody know about that.
It's not spanking necessarily, man.
Well, what? Yeah, well, they take corporal punishment and they call it paddling. That sounds so gay. Man, no gayism. That's worse than that.
What? What are you talking about?
About the gay.
About the gay what?
About being paddled.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it's paddling is paddling or not. But what I'm trying to tell you is that get out of here. You guys are bugging me. 877-876-PHIL. Chris, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comparison between myself and my stepson. I happen to disagree with you on the corporal punishment thing. I was spanked by my parents, my grandparents, teachers at school, and I feel like I turned out okay. Now, my stepson, on the other hand, my wife never spanked him, and there for a long time when me and her first got married, he would not keep his stay out of my personal things. And, certain kind of magazine collection, let's say. And I kept trying to get him to stay out of it, and she wouldn't let me spank him. And, well, he straightened out now, but there for a while, he...
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're talking about. What are you talking about? He straightened out now.
Well, he's gotten older now. This is back when he was like 13.
Well, what's the point you're making about spanking? I don't get it.
What I'm saying is I respected other people's things when I was a kid. I didn't go prowling through.
What's this got to do with your stepson? Did you spank your stepson? Is that what you're saying? Because you said that he's straightened out now.
Because he's gotten older. He's gotten older and he's
so you didn't have to, you didn't have to spank him.
I never did, no. But back, what I'm saying is, when I was his age, 12, 13 years old, when I first married his mother, I didn't go through people's stuff. I didn't prowl, you know, because I was spanked.
Yeah, but he's straight. You say he's straightened out now. He's okay now, and he didn't have to be spanked.
Because it took 6 years for him to get straightened out.
Well, you understand that he's a kid. He's not an adult. He's a kid. You know, as they say, they're works in progress. They're not human. They're not fully developed people yet. They're developing.
What I'm saying is this: when I was his age,
yeah. What are you saying, man?
When I was his age,
so you didn't go through. All right, that's good for you, and you get a brownie point for that. And I'm really happy to hear that, Chris. We're not talking about you now. We're talking about this kid, and you say he wasn't spanked. And he's straightened out, and he's okay. And so while you needed to be spanked, I guess, he doesn't.
Well,
is that it?
Like I said,
you know what I'm saying?
That was six. I'm talking about now he's 19. Back when I first got married to his mother, he was 13, 12 or 13.
I know. Yeah.
You know.
So he was becoming. Look, he's a teenager. He's a 13-year-old adolescent. He's got a new man in his life. He doesn't know you from Adam. You're some creep that came into his house that his mother thinks is fantastic. That's fine. But what's that got to do with him? And he's also got to do what you're telling him what to do. He doesn't know you from Adam. He's 13 on top of it. And you know what 13 is. 13 is like teenage. So now this kid's getting pimples. He's getting skinny. He's probably not the greatest looking guy in the world when he looks in the mirror. He's got you hanging around. He's got to deal with chicks. He's got to deal with the whole thing of becoming an adolescent, becoming a human being. And on top of everything else, he's expected to become just fantastic. He's supposed to be boy wonder within 6 months. It's a lot of pressure, man. Now, you're different. You were raised different, and we're all different. But apparently this young man is okay now. He's 19. Nobody had to spank him. I'm not sure I know what it is you're trying to say. Did you hit this kid or not?
No.
And did
I never
mother?
Did.
Did the mother?
No, that's what I'm saying. She never
okay.
did either.
So you're saying that your point is it would have been a lot faster had you guys spanked him.
I think he would have matured quicker and been more respectful of other people's things, yes.
Maybe. All right. Good point, Chris. I appreciate your call. I doubt it, though. Personally, I don't agree with that, but I had to, you know, tell the guy that I did. Here's Jack in Atlanta. Hi, Jack. You're on a Phil Hendry show. How you doing tonight?
I woke up breathing, so that's a start. What I have to say, forget the school spanking. I mean, when we got spanked in school, and I'm 42 years old, the spanking in school wasn't the problem. It was when your parents found out you got spanked in school. That was the ass whooping you were going to get when you got home. Parents don't do that anymore. They expect the school to take care of all the kids' problems. Raise your kid. You had them, you know, you breed them, you feed them. Don't let the school, don't put it on the school's back to correct your children.
I don't know what school, I don't know of any school district that practices corporal punishment in California. Now, you say where you grew up, they did.
Yeah,
you're 42? You're 42? I'm 57. So I was 15 years old when you were born.
Right.
And yet, when you went to school, you had corporal punishment.
In Louisiana, right.
In Louisiana, right.
I went to a Catholic
okay.
school.
Oh, well, that's a private school, man. That's a whole different ball of wax. That's a private school, yeah.
My daughter went to a public school in Mandeville, Louisiana, Mandeville High.
Yeah.
And they had corporal punishment there. Now, she's 18 now, and they never used it, but it was a threat. And it really wasn't a threat of the paddle, so to speak. It was a threat of if you go home and you got spanked in school, that's the worst thing could happen. She knew if she got home, girl or not, you know, she's in some deep trouble. The kids aren't afraid of parents.
So you're telling me that after your daughter got whacked in school, you beat her some more? Or not beat her, but you paddled her more or whatever you call it?
No, she never got spanked, but she knew. Yeah, I'd spank my daughter. That wouldn't be a problem.
Well, so in other words, what you're doing, they already spanked her and you're going to do it again because you figure, well, they're not really the ones to do it. I should do it?
Yes, sir. I'm her father. And if she got
it. What do you think of this notion? What do you think of this notion, Jack, that I just laid out here, that when you spank a kid, what you're saying to them is, here's the way to get what you need from people. Give them pain.
No, I don't believe
you don't
in that.
Well, what else says it then?
Well, if you look at I'm not going to compare us to animals, so to speak, but if your dog messes on the carpet and you spank that dog, you're showing that dog, if you keep this up, you're going to keep getting this, and you don't like this. Now, whether it's pain or not.
Well, I can tell you right now that doesn't cure a dog from crapping on the carpet, beating it. However.
It did mine, but go ahead. I'm listening.
So that's what you use in your life to correct people, pain.
No, I've never.
And,
I've never
and dogs.
Spank my daughter. I've never had to spank my daughter because she's raised correctly. But if she went to school.
I don't understand that. What does that mean she's raised correctly so you don't
have
to spank her?
With respect of others?
Well, wait a minute. How did you instill the respect in her? Did you spank her? No?
No.
Well, then why would you even think that you have to spank her? If you raised your daughter to be respectful and she's a good kid, why do these people at the school, in other words, why would you think she'd need to be spanked?
It's not their place. I'm trying to say it's not their place to spank her.
Well, you got her in the school, don't you? Do you have her in the school where they spank kids?
No, they don't allow spanking in where she's at now. I mean, she's senior, about to be going to college. I don't think they're going to spank.
Well, you had her in a school where they spank kids. Did I hear you right?
Yes.
All right. And you've raised her as a good girl, and you've raised her with respect. Why would she ever even need to be spanked in a school? You know, I'm not telling you your job, but if I had a daughter as good as yours, if I had a kid as good as your kid, and she came home and she said, they spanked me today, I'd go to the school and try to find out, what the hell are you spanking my kid for? She's a good kid.
Well, you would automatically know what they spanked her, because they're going to call the parents and say, hey, you know, this is what your child did. What I'm saying, Phil, is I don't believe in spanking in school. I don't believe the school has the right to correct my child. The child
you put your kid in a school. You put your kid in a school where they spank.
Well, that's the only school she could go to. It's in the county. She has to go to that school. What I'm saying is, it's not the school's place. They're there.
All right, I got you. All right, man, I hear you. Thank you. 877-876-FIL. Ain't the school's place, then don't stick her in the school. And if it's a public school and they allow spanking in that school, you go to the school and you say, you're not going to touch my kid. Period. How about that? 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. It's time now for the stories we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Speaking of corporal punishment, Kiefer Sutherland took his shirt off in a London nightclub and they beat the crap out of him and threw him in the street. In other news, a 19-year-old, I don't know whether they did or not, they probably should have. In other news, a 19-year-old Michigan State University student faces charges after he allegedly stole 15 pairs of thong underwear from a dormitory laundry room and was later found with 79 pairs of pilfered panties in his possession. And they were all guys. No, it was panties. No, those are girls. The man's arrest last week brought to a close the case of the thong thief, which campus police have been investigating since March 22nd, when it was reported that someone had swiped 15 pairs of panties from the basement laundry at West Acres Hall, according to Sergeant Florine McLaughlin Taylor. Is that some kind of a joke? The original victim was an 18-year-old student who reported that someone had stolen her panties from the dryer, Florine McLaughlin Taylor said. The alleged thong thief was arrested after he went back to the scene of the crime in April, on April the 7th, and another student saw him stealing underwear from a dryer. The student reported the incident to police who arrested the suspect. You poor bastard, dude. All you thong freaks and you panty weirdos, all you cats that are into shoes, all that jazz, you really got to keep it on the down low. You know, I don't know what you're going to do or how you think, you know, but people are on the lookout for creeps like you, so just, I don't necessarily think you belong in jail, but underwear is expensive, I guess. After the arrest, police found 79 pairs of underwear. What are you looking at?
Well, what are you speaking for your people?
Why, you dirty little... Tell me I'm speaking for my people.
Yeah, man.
When questioned, the suspect denied having a sex addiction, according to McLaughlin Taylor. Although he did dig her name, he says, I really got something there for Florine McLaughlin Taylor, he insisted. But he didn't have any kind of an addiction. He claimed it was just a prank. He said other students were doing the same thing, although that has yet to be verified. Police released the suspect and they forwarded their report to the Ingham County Prosecutor's Office. It's up to the prosecutors to decide whether to charge this poor weird ass, according to, you got it, Florine McLaughlin Taylor. The victim said she wants to file charges, and I, Florine McLaughlin Taylor, I believe she should, said Florine McLaughlin Taylor as she took off her Mother Goose shoes and rubbed her feet. A New Jersey man purposely vomits on Phillies fans. Dateline Philadelphia. A New Jersey man is facing charges after police say he intentionally vomited on an 11-year-old girl and her father in the stands during a Phillies game. What a class act, man. 21-year-old, now here's a guy that they ought to use corporal punishment on. You see, he's 21 years of age, he's an adult, and yet he should have his ass beat. Don't you think? I do. 21-year-old Matthew Clemens of Cherry Hill, New Jersey, was arraigned on Friday on charges stemming from his behavior on Wednesday night at the Phillies-Nationals game. Police say Clemens made himself vomit on an off-duty police captain and his daughter after a companion was kicked out for unruly behavior. Easton Police Captain Michael Vangelo says he saw Clemens put his finger down his throat. You gotta be some kind of a weird mother, man, to know how to do stuff like that. I know what I'm gonna do. I'll throw up on him. Watch. I mean, there's something. You talk about a childhood that was terribly warped. All right, in Athens, Alabama, Limestone County authorities have arrested a man who, they said, tried to disguise 5 ounces of cocaine as a baked potato. All right. Sheriff Lieutenant Lance Royals said that they got a tip on Monday afternoon that a man in a silver Mustang had cocaine. When interrogators and investigators and all the others approached the man in the parking lot outside a restaurant, he said he had nothing illegal. Investigators searched the car and found a carryout plate with chicken, rice, and what looked like a foil-wrapped potato. The foil contained 5 ounces of cocaine. The 21-year-old allegedly gave a false name and said he lived in Huntsville but couldn't remember the address, but royals found out his real name. The man was being held without bail on trafficking charges there in Athens, Alabama. And finally, in Erie, Pennsylvania, an Erie County judge has thrown out a lawsuit filed by the guardian of a 12-year-old girl who claimed the girl was burned and traumatized when a convenience store clerk allegedly aimed a handheld price scanner at her face. Judge Ernest DeSantis ruled in favor of the county fair store in Erie after its attorney argued that the plaintiff failed to make a case on Wednesday. What are they talking about? One of those things you scan stuff with?
Yeah, I probably thought I had radiation or something.
Like a ray gun.
Oh, man. The price scanner thing has, like, got radiation. Anyway, those are the stories we couldn't get to. Our show, of course, is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget our sixth-day video cast, Saturday night at 6 on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.